You're going to want to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke, chapter 2. That's where we'll be at this morning. We've been checking out in this Christmas season just how generous God is. We start off looking at how He generously gave us hope, and hope beyond this life that we can rejoice in and celebrate with. And then He generously gave us love by coming down to this earth Himself. Not just sending someone, but coming down Himself for our sins. And then last week, we look at how He generously gave us joy. And that joy comes to us as the angels proclaimed. And then it births a worship out of us as they did. And then it causes us to be strong in the trials that we face and the struggles that we face, and even sharing the gospel with others as the shepherds did. And now we come to this point of peace. The generous God that gives us peace. We find in history, in Christmas Eve, 1914, during World War I, there was a unique truce that was made. Just for a few hours, 100,000 enemies behaved like brothers. The war, which was only 5 months old at the time, had already taken over 800,000 men. Every soldier wondered whether Christmas Day would bring another round of fighting and killing. Pope Benedict XV called for a Christmas truce, but it was rejected. But then a miracle of sorts took place. One soldier records it in his journal this way: "First the Germans would sing one of their carols, and then we would sing one of ours. Until when we started up, O come all ye faithful, the Germans immediately joined in singing the same hymn. And I thought, well, this is really a most extraordinary thing. Two nations both singing the same carol in the middle of a war." It's recorded that the next morning in some places, German soldiers emerged from their trenches calling out, "Merry Christmas," in English. Allied soldiers came out warily to greet them. In other places, Germans held up signs reading, "You know shoot, we know shoot." Over the course of the day, troops exchanged gifts of cigarettes, food, buttons, and hats. The Christmas truce also allowed both sides to finally bury their dead comrades whose body had lain for weeks on no man's land, that ground between opposing trenches. In some places, they continued fighting, while other places held up their truce. In one place, a British soldier had his hair cut by his pre-war German barber. Another soldier journaled talking of a pig roast together, and several posts mentioned impromptu soccer games. And of course, it was only ever a truce and not a lasting peace. The hostilities returned, and in some place later that day, other places it wasn't until after New Year's Day. But here's your take home, is that peace is a generous gift from our generous God on Christmas. It does much more than just put out fires or ease tensions or calm the fears. It's greater than we imagine, and that's what we're going to discover today about God's peace. So let's look at what happened here. We know that account very well, but I want to focus in on verses 13 and 14, and then verses 18 and 19. "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men.'" And then in verse 18, "And all those who heard it marveled at those things which were told them by the shepherds, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." You notice the angels sung about peace. This one that would be born, this Messiah, would bring forth a peace to the world that it's never seen before. And we find that Mary is pondering it in her heart. Her eyes in amazement. Here she is holding God in the flesh. And seeing all these things transpire, her heart is resting in the Lord. But what does it mean for you and I to have peace in the midst of our circumstances today? What does that look like? Well, let's understand a few things about God's peace. First of all is this: the world doesn't have it, and it can't give it. The world doesn't have it, and it can't give it. The Personal Journal reported this incredible statistic. Since the beginning of recorded history, the entire world has been at peace less than 8% of the time. In its study, the periodical discovered that of the 3,530 years of recorded history that they had, only 286 years saw peace. Moreover, in excess of 8,000 peace treaties were made and broken. So we look on the global scale and we say, man, we can't have peace. We're constantly fighting, someplace or another, we're constantly fighting. Well, what about on the personal level? We find this, the question was asked, if you could choose what you want most in life, what would you ask for? And the most common response was peace. We want peace in our marriages, in our families, in our workplaces, in ourself, in our world. And what's interesting to note is our country, it has some of the best medical and psychological treatment centers, some of the highest education institutions, and worldwide communications abound. And yet, with all those things, most people are still not at peace. What does that tell us? It tells us we're looking in the wrong places. There once was a wise worldly man who was very successful, and he said to a young gal, if you want to achieve inner peace, you got to finish all the things that you started. So she looked around the house to see all the things she had started and hadn't finished. And before leaving the house that morning, she finished off a bottle of red wine, a bottle of white wine, the Prozac, some Valium, some cheesecake, and a box of chocolates. She went back to the man and said, you have no idea how good I feel. The world will give you a numbness, but not a peace. It will give you an escape, but not the reality of true peace. True peace isn't something you achieve through your efforts or find in a wishing well. It is something you receive from a generous God who made you. And that's what he offers us. And secondly is that God offers a different kind of peace than the world. The source is different. It comes from the Prince of Peace. Look at John 14:27. Look at what it says. Peace I leave with you. Jesus is saying this. My peace I give to you, not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Friend, do you have his peace right now? Do you have peace with God? You see, because of the source of this peace, it's powerful and divine, this peace can truly last. It can prevail over all the enemy attacks that you face, over all the fears that threaten you or the overwhelming situations before you. It can sustain me through the storms and the trials of life that come every single day or the pressures of the world, because this peace comes from God himself. We find in the Psalms 29:11, the Lord will bless his people with peace. And there's no greater time, I think, than at Christmas that we see God's peace displayed to all humanity. Well, what does this look like? What does this look like for you and me today to have his peace? The Bible gives us his peace in three different arenas. These are three different arenas you can ask yourself, is that real in my life? The first is peace with God. Peace with God. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 1. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Do you have peace with God, or are you fighting with him on something, an issue? It's that issue that's unresolved, or that relationship that maybe went south and you can't figure out why, and you just find in your heart, I'm fighting with God on these things because I don't understand why he's allowing these things in my life. Let me ask you another question. Isn't it exhausting fighting with God? Do you ever find true peace when you're at war with God and you're fighting with him on issues? No, you don't. Find a lot of tension, a lot of turmoil. And what happens is that it just starts to wear you down. You get tired. But let me remind you, friend, that your freedom is found in your surrender, not in your stance against God. You see, Jesus said something so beautiful in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28. Come unto me, all you who are what? Weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You see, I've got to identify for myself, man, this is really wearying me and it is really heavy on me. I am so tired of fighting with God. As if somehow God has to answer me for what's going on in life. As somehow I cannot rest until I have answers to my whys. And God says, let it go. Not like the song, but you know, he just says you've got to trust me, I'm still in control. How can he offer us rest and peace? Because he paid the price on the cross for our sins. The war I have with God is finally over when I get to the cross. I see my sin is paid for completely, and I'm made right with God entirely, and I can move forward blessed and get away from that issue that keeps dragging me down. Because his peace is a prominent peace. It's a powerful peace. It's a prevailing peace. But I not only have peace with God, the second arena I have is I have the peace of God. Now, what does that look like? Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you were also called in one body, and be thankful. Philippians 4:6 and 7, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. You see, his peace is going to bypass what you even understand. If you're asking for an understandable peace, you're asking in the wrong way. God says, I'm going to give you a peace that goes beyond your understanding. You can't figure it out. You just have to receive it and accept it. You ever had times like that where, I don't understand how God could still forgive me after 52 years of being a knucklehead. I can understand how he can forgive you, but you know me, it's a different story. You know, that's what we say. I don't understand how every single mercy or every single day his mercies are brand new. Like they're fresh and full, 100%. You would think he would get to a point where go, you know what, it's been thousands and hundreds of thousands of years and really? You're running out, dude. No, he doesn't. It goes beyond your understanding that this is God, and yet it grips your heart in such a way like nothing else could. The peace of God. But as his child, when I take that in, I no longer have to face the pressures of trying to figure it all out. I can allow his peace to rule in my life, and I'm resting in his hands, and I'm okay actually not knowing all the details. That's an okay place to be. It's like the child with the parent, and the parent simply says, hey, trust me, I'm in control here. He knows what he's doing. He's got it. And let me ask you a question. If God said to your heart right now, in light of what you're facing, if God said, I have three words for you, peace, be still, would you take it? Or are you so used to the chaos that you don't know what it's like to be still before God? You're so used to the turmoil and something that's a pressure or something happening that if God spoke to you by the Holy Spirit and said, peace, be still, you wouldn't know what to do. Well, I'll tell you what to do. You receive it. And you let the one who is over all things calm the storm in your heart or be in control of the situations that are causing you all the fear. I'm finding out in my own life that those words, be still and know that I am God, are an anthem of sorts. And I find I'm wanting to practice that more and more of just a stillness and a steadiness before God without the noise. Because life is full of noise, right? And I think we need that more often. But we have the peace with God. We have peace of God. And the third arena is that we have peace in God. A powerful peace in God that's guarding my heart and mind, as Philippians 4 talked about. That's guiding me along the way. It brings me rest, and it's guarding my heart. Look at Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. What a great verse. As you trust in the Lord, you can know that he will guard you in his peace. From all the worries, all the fears, all the things that rob you internally. You know, we talk about this sanctuary update and all that's going on. This is how it's working out in my life. I believe that I have heard from God clearly in his word. I've got scriptures that I've written down, and when we rip the carpet out of here, I'm going to come in with a Sharpie and put them all over the foundation, you know. But I've heard from his word. I see the work that he's doing. And there's a peace that passes understanding because I know God is in control. But some may say, yeah, but you don't have all the funds in place. No, we don't. But God's in charge. And then along the way, the enemy whispers, what are you doing? What are you doing, dude? You're going to cause some problems. You're going to cause some fears. You're going to cause some chaos. You can't do this. People are going to leave, da, 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 da. And you got to just go, yeah, take off, dude. And that's not the Holy Spirit. And I find in the midst of all the yabuts of the enemies or all the issues that happen, there is this solid peace in my heart because God is in control. And it actually produces, as you trust in the Lord, an excitement for the unknown. Because you're just so excited to see God work according to God's word and God's promise that he's revealed to you. Let the peace of God be an anchor in your heart, no matter what things are happening. Let the peace of God settle you that the unknown is okay. I don't have to have it figured out. It's not my problem, it's his. He bought me at the cross. The rest is his story. So whatever may happen or whatever may come our way, we can rest in his hands. Peace in God leads to trusting in God, where I'm resting in his control and we're not losing sleep. Look at Psalms 4, verse 8. I will both lie down in peace and sleep, for you alone, O Lord, make me dwell in safety. When the peace of God is gripping your heart, you're not losing sleep over things. You're not. You're not up worrying all night of how it's going to happen and what you're going to do and what you need to plan and what you need to say. You just go, Lord, good night. You're in control. Give me wisdom every day for what I'm going to face, and I'm going to trust you along the way. So what's robbing you of his peace right now? Is it the year-end busyness of the rush? Is it the family turmoils? Is it the health issues? Is it the Christmas stress? You know, the song Silent Night, here's a little history of how it came about. Joseph Moore in 1818 wrote this song. Actually, didn't write it. Here's how, never mind. I'm going to tell you in a second. The organ at his church had been incapacitated by mice, and it wouldn't be fixed until after Christmas. So here he is on Christmas Eve trying to figure out what to do. He had written a poem that a few years back that he asked a friend by the name of Franz Gruber to take his 6-stanza poem and put it to music. And that night, Christmas Eve, with a guitar, the choir repeated the last 2 lines of each verse of Silent Night. And here was this song. From a stressful moment came a beautiful song that generations have sung over and over and over again. And people have gained a peace and a rest or a prayer that said, Lord, in my heart, make that so. Make that real. Give me your peace. And I would encourage you this morning, be still and know that I am God. Be steady in your faith and with your feet, following what the Lord's put before you. And allow him to work. He wants you to rest in his peace. Let me give you a few examples of peace that we see worked out in the Word of God, just to encourage your heart. First, there is Mary. Mary, we see her exampling peace when she heard the news that she would bear the Messiah. Luke chapter 1, verse 38. Then Mary said, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Imagine hearing such news that you're going to bear the Messiah. In that culture, she was out of wedlock at that time. And so I'm sure you have questions rolling around in your mind. You have the social stigmas. You have the side eyes. What do I do with that? And the people that shun me. And all these things that could rob her of her peace. And what does she do? She says, Lord, if this is your plan, I'm all in. I love that because peace prevailed over the pressures and the things that she didn't know. Look at Joseph. He chose the pathway of peace and trust over the fear or anger when Mary told him she was pregnant in Matthew 1:24. How many of us get disturbing news and the first thing that goes is our peace? We start to panic. We start to probe where, what, why, when, how. We start to, I see your hand. We start to go down these roads and we don't have all the answers. All we know is that we've been slapped in the face or blindsided by some disturbing news. But here's Joseph, as we studied before, saying, I'm just going to sleep on it. And the angel told him, hey, this is of God. And he found himself going from a place of worry or trouble to a place of steadfast faith, trusting in God. That's peace working, settling his heart. And then we see a guy like Simeon. Simeon came 8 days after Jesus was born. What happened is that he was born, and then they would take him to the temple, and there he'd be circumcised, and they'd go through the Jewish rituals there and the sacrifice. And that was where Simeon encountered Christ. And it says this about Simeon. He said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word, for my eyes have seen your salvation." Here was a man who said, "I don't need anything more in life. I don't need anything more. I got no more promotions or positions or possessions or power or vacations or whatever. I'm not waiting for anything else. I just want to see your Messiah." And when he saw him, he took him in his arms, and as if he said, "This is enough. This is enough. It is well with my soul." Is Jesus your enough at Christmas? Gang, that's a question only your heart can answer before the Lord. I'm not saying, I don't need any presents type of thing. It's not the road you're going down. But a true peace and a satisfaction that says, "Lord, you are my sufficiency. Now that I've seen you, I am ready at some point when you decide, take me home. Now that I've seen you, I'm settled and peace grips my heart and I am good. Like never before." Something only comes from the Lord. Well, look at the wise men. The wise men, once they met Jesus and they worshiped him, they went home in peace. Matthew chapter 2 tells us. Romans 10:15 says, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things." And that's exactly what these wise men did. When they went back home, I'm sure they had shared with people along the way, "We just came from meeting the King of the Jews. We just came from meeting the Messiah. We just came from a glorious worship time with him. And he's available for you as well," as they're bringing this gospel of peace. Let me give you a few more examples. Think about Daniel facing the lion's den. There in Daniel chapter 6, amidst the lions, there they're salivating and snarling at this Dan noodle bowl before them. You know, they're ready to eat. We read about later when the bad guys were thrown in that before they even reached the ground, the lions jumped on them and started chewing. They were hungry, but God settled these lions in this den. And Daniel stood on the promises of God, saying, "God's peace will prevail in my heart because God's in this. It's not up to me." Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, well, they walked in the fire with Jesus. They were fired by their boss, so to speak, and they walked in the fire with Jesus there, and there was a peace guarding and guiding their heart. They knew that God, who was faithful before, would be faithful in this fire that they're facing, and he would be faithful afterwards. And the peace so guarded their heart and guided their steps that the only thing that burned off through that trial was the ropes that bound them. That's it. And of course, you can think about a guy like Paul. We read about him through all his letters, but here was a man who went through storms and stonings, who lost friends, who betrayed him and left him, who went through persecutions and jails and all these hardships. And what kept this guy going? The same thing he wrote in Philippians. "To be anxious for nothing, but in all things, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God that passes understanding will guard your heart and mind." He's not just telling them what to do. He's telling them what he's experienced. That in the midst of my chains, as he's writing Philippians, he's telling them about joy in the Lord, and he's telling them about how to have peace. And then, of course, there's a guy in the Bible by the name of Isaac. Abraham had a son. His name was Isaac, and he chose a pathway of peace over conflict when strife was building. It's found in Genesis 26, and the context is that you're living out in the desert, and water is not just a commodity, it's a necessity. Without water, you're going to die off. So when you found a well, you camped there. This was life for you. Well, in Genesis 26, Isaiah digs a well, and the enemy comes and throws dirt in it. And so what does he do? He goes and digs another one. And what does the enemy come and do? He comes alongside, "Nope, I'm taking that well." And so what does he do? He goes and digs another one, and then another one. He did not allow bitterness to grip his heart in the midst of the trials that he was facing. He just simply said, I'll move on rather than deal with the strife. I'll move on trusting God. He is my Prince of Peace. He will provide for me. And every place he shoved his shovel into the ground, dink, psst, water. And God proved himself time and time again. You see, that's letting peace guide your life. Where you recognize the enemy can throw dirt in your well and he can say, that's mine, not yours. And he will try and try and try to create the chaos to rob you of peace. But when you say, you know what, my steps are firmly founded in the Lord and I'm trusting God and I'm willing to move on without fighting those issues that in the end don't matter because it's not about the well, it's about the well spring, the giver of life. He sustains me, not my shovel. And maybe that's a word for you today to remember this. It's not your job. It's not your efforts. It's not your abilities. It's the Lord that sustains you. And he wants you to be still and to know he is God. Same yesterday, today, and forever. Let him lead. Let him guide. As we see this unfold, as we look at Christmas, I want to give you one last verse. Romans 15, 13 says this. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You see, the peace of God is going to bring you to a place of abundant hope and the power of the Holy Spirit. And Christmas highlights the peace that is ours to take even today. How generous is God that he would come and give us peace. Peace like a river, saturating, overflowing, enveloping our soul. This is the God we serve. And so I'd ask you that question, do you have peace with God? Or are you at war with him? If you are, there's no better place or no better time than even right now to surrender and say, God, I'm done fighting, I'm exhausted. Forgive me of my sin and change my life from the inside out. Believer, do you have peace of God that's guarding and guiding your heart? Or are you anxious and worried about things you can't control? Believer, do you have peace in God where you're allowing that to strengthen you and sustain you through whatever unknown is there where you're just going, man, I'm just enjoying Jesus and watching him work and resting in his hands. All of those things are questions that you bring before the Lord and you bring your heart and you allow him. He's a good God. He's not going to thunk you on the head and say, idiot, what are you doing? He's going to wrap his arms around you and say, are you ready? You want my peace? I've been here all along ready to give it, just waiting for you to say, yes, I'll receive it. Let's bow our heads.